It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, each and every morning here on Republic Broadcasting Network. And we're here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, in the studios of Freedoms, Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. Now, let me tell you where we're going to go this year. I'm going to start it off today. I was asked Saturday at the Arizona Breakfast Club, we had an event where we had the gentlemen that were out there putting up the PatriotsQuestion911.com. They were up on I-40, and they built themselves a billboard. Now they go, you know what? Somebody has some land here. A year ago at a meetup in Payson, Thomas Costanza, the sales manager here, Morpheus, he was there, and the guy says, hey, I got land, and he kind of logged that number away, and when they found somebody that wanted to help and do it, and they learned how when we were up at I-15 or something between Vegas and Los Angeles, and we did the big billboards up there and so on. They go, yeah, we can do this. So they got together, got somebody with some cash and motivation and wanting, and boom, done. So they talked about it. And one of the gentlemen that helped with that financially is Michael Schoen. Michael Schoen is the heir or the son of the founder of U-Haul. So they're a long time, prominent family here in Arizona. And I guess he has to be some kind of black sheep, man. If he's questioning 9/11, that doesn't put you on top of the corporate heap. But he was a believer in the whole government story thing right up until he started doing some research to the point he's an attorney. So what he did is he did it as evidence. He made models of the World Trade Center. This is the first time I've seen this. This was a really good idea the way he did it. Imagine taking a square cube foot box with its open on top. Around the side, he took aluminum square tubing and he put it around on one side there to show how close together these exterior supports were. Then inside, he put the beams and then had the cross members and so on in there to show you just how dense the center core of the World Trade Center 1 and 2 was. And he did this. He goes, now, explain to me how you have every single one of these big beams get cut into, 20, 40, 100-foot sections or whatever as this thing falls into its footprint. Dang. And he went through a demonstration and showed and did some architects and engineer stuff. But to see it, to have it there depicted in wood and aluminum tubing and a model and so on, just to look at it. And then to see how the detonation of the concrete, it was a very persuasive presentation. And I'm going, okay, I'm, dang. And there was someone that was, on the side of the government on this thing at first. He's like, nah, it's just not. And as he kept going through, so he's been attacking this to the point that in the last election cycle of 08, he ran for U.S. Congress as a libertarian. And he used that platform to make sure that he wanted to get on record. This is what I'm not here to change your mind. I'm here to tell you why my mind got changed. Now, that's a very powerful method of doing this stuff. So he's made that effort, and he may run for Congress again. And this every year we keep getting more and more attention, more and more notice on how we're challenging the matrix head on. Well, there's one of the Matrix challengers, the state chair of the Arizona Libertarian Party, Michael Kilsky, and an old-time warrior in the movement that I've known for almost 20 years. And we'll tell you what's going to happen in 2010. Stay tuned. You want to know.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Hi, this is Ernest Hancock. I just learned that 800 miles from the North Pole, the Svalbard Global Seed Vault is depositing caches of seeds for government and private interest. And I'm pretty sure our names aren't on that list. Our friends at Solutions from Science have created a fantastic mix of non-hybrid seeds they call the Survival Seed Bank. The Survival Seed Bank produces an endless supply of nutrient-dense food so that you have the ability to declare your independence by not being dependent on others to provide your food. Non-hybrid seeds could outperform silver and gold in the coming economic meltdown, and each Survival Seed Bank module provides you enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden that will help see you and your family through a real crisis. To obtain this valuable resource for barter and food before it's too late, visit SurvivalSeedBank.com or call them directly at 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Help ensure the survival of you and your loved ones. SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Attention, ladies. Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hi. Hi. Oh, I'm sorry. Jet's not here. I was waiting for the music. Well, where's the music? Oh, yeah, that's right. Jet just walked out. I was supposed to do it. That's all right. We'll skip that this time. Let me tell you what we're doing. Today, I wanted to make sure that we started off 2010, and we got so many things going on. We're still here just scrambling. That's why I was distracted. What we're doing is later this week, tomorrow night, after the radio shows on Tuesday, I'm heading to Las Vegas to go to the Consumer Electronics Show. The Consumer Electronics Show is it's a big deal in Las Vegas. This is when all the whiz bang cool stuff comes out and you get to see the new innovations in. Now, what I wanted to make sure that I got a very good look at was power storage, batteries, ultracapacitors. It, you know, when you get these little laptops thing that go for 7-8 hours all day running your little computers, I'm going, ooh, that's good. That's good. I like that. You know, I'm sick of, you know what we call, you know, the batteries now in laptops the past few years are just like power interruption backup enough to find another outlet. I mean, you know, they don't really stay on that long. And you keep buying new batteries and recharging, they go bad. So this battery energy storage is going to be a life-changing thing for us here in America and around the world. You watch. This is going to be the big deal because alternative power generation doesn't do you any good unless it's consistent, constant, or you can store it. Because when you got a thermonuclear plant or fusion reactor in your backyard kind of thing, I guess you won't have to worry about it then. But until then, you got wind, solar, tide, water, all of these things, you know, fluctuate. You know, it gets cloudy. It doesn't get windy. You know, the tide is not always moving. I mean, you know, there's something. So what we're going to do is focus on that when I go to Vegas. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, Jet will be airing some of the segments and interviews and reporting that I'll do from there using the Comrex and recorded MP3s of interviews and such. So we're going to be working really hard making sure. So we're sitting here trying to get our scheduling done for that. But tomorrow, also this week, Catherine Bleich from Missouri, you may know her from she's really going after these fusion centers across the country, and she's traveling from the West Coast going east, and she'll be stopping here tomorrow night in Phoenix. So right now, Jet is off. That's what he's doing. He had to run out. He's talking to Al Ramirez from the Phoenix Police Department and making the effort to get us access inside the fusion centers. Now, you can give us a voluntary tour, or we'll be having the populace begging for one anyway, and then the whole deal will be you won't give us one. So these fusion centers are, we went through this in the mid-90s. Oh, that's right. Michael, remember this stuff, the multi-jurisdictional task forces. Remember that? So this is, I want to introduce you to Michael. Now, I'm going to give a little bio on him, and he's not, you know, whether he likes it or not. This is how I know Michael. In the mid-90s, when we first started doing activism and so on, the internet just started getting going. Now, Michael's got a computer. You got a computer science degree from something, don't you?
Yeah.
So here's, and he's an attorney. So that wasn't challenging enough for him. So he went back to law school and got his attorney credentials, too. So now he's a practicing attorney here in the back. Oh, and by the way, in his spare time, he does Arizona State Chair of the Libertarian Party. So Michael's one of these guys that are the brain boxes. You know, mom be very proud of her son, you know, which, oh, that was another intro. We did a show on, there's so much for us to talk about today. So I'm going to give you a kind of background on Michael from my perspective. He'll correct me where I'm wrong here. I first remember Michael back in 94 when we first started getting our first emails. This is when we had our first workshop. When back in 94, we opened the Libertarian Party headquarters for Maricopa County here in Arizona, and we were rocking and rolling, same kind of stuff that we're doing here. We had that printing press that we got back there. That was the first thing to get us in trouble. Then we go public access and learn how to do some video, and we get some behind the scenes video, and you do, you know, one of them every 6 months or something like that, where now you do it every 6 hours. You know, it's totally different technology. Well, as we were learning all this stuff and we're doing our fax trees and we're making signs and sign production and getting shirts done and all. I mean, we were just being rock and roll and whatnot. We were having our first email accounts, and you would go on different things. They had something called Paul Revere Net. Now, Paul Revere Net is called a bulletin board, a BBS. Now, bulletin boards were the beginning of the internet, where you would put all this information and so on your own computer. People would dial into your modem. They would access all the emails that people had uploaded to on whatever subject that you were working on, and they would download that to their computer and then upload all their responses to previous emails. Now, you would do that, you know, every time that you would call in, it would update this stuff. Well, that it worked. I mean, it worked very well. People were able to share information, and I tell you what we found out. We found out, especially when it came to gun laws and so on, this stuff was going on nationally, internationally. You would have this stupid law that they would introduce here in one state, and you go, what the heck? Hey, man, It's identical law they're doing in New Jersey. They're going to say, hey, over here in Georgia, they're doing the same thing. Oh, hey, man, we're in Montana, the same crap. So we saw for the first time in real time that these efforts were not just selected in one individual state. There was a global effort. And it was both sides of the same coin. You know, you have like NRA on one side going, look at all these terrible things that they did that we encouraged so that we could oppose it and raise money. And then you had the other side. They were doing this stuff, but they were doing it in such a way that, you know, to appease their side. You know, we need to have handgun control guys. And, you know, we're doing something against the evil hordes of and R&Ds back and forth. And you get up high enough and you see they're all golfing together, being buddies, doing it to each of their benefits. At the expense of your rights. So we're going, wow, man, this was a revelation for us. This is 15 years ago that we understood that all politics was just a psyop. And there was a higher purpose. And we're going, okay. There started an email list called Arizona Right to Keep and Bear Arms, AZRKBA. And that was probably the first server-generated regular type email list that you're familiar with now, where you would post up to it and immediately go up, and then people respond to it back. It was a fantastic list because you had people that were involved on Second Amendment issues. But what happened was, is there some of us libertarians that weren't beholden to the NRA, that weren't trying to get Republicans elected, that were just trying to find the truth. All of a sudden, we started having a big impact. We're going, look, this is what's going on. This is what they're really doing. This is what's happening here, because for the first time, we didn't have just NRA approved local affiliates of in the name of helping elect some Republican because the evil Democrat might get it kind of thing. All of a sudden, we're really getting real Second Amendment activists, people that understood what the real goal was. They are having an input. They are talking about it. They are the ones that are injecting their perspective on this. And the libertarian movement at the time was activists all over the country. They were different. They were there on the issue. It wasn't about, you know, most votes or heck, you know, libertarians, a lot of states didn't even have ballot status. That wasn't the point. They were looking for the truth, uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. Well, if you're the one keeping secrets and you're the one lying, you don't like when that happens. On that list was Michael Kilsky. Michael is on there. Michael made great arguments. Michael was, you know, he had a lot of history. And I'll give you some of the stuff so you get some street cred for Michael. Okay. Now, I know you get to talk this segment. We'll get to you in a minute, because I want you to understand what we're doing. We're going to be talking for 2 hours. And I want you to understand what we're dealing with. Michael, being a, you know, legalistic kind of mentality already before he even went to law school, he's going, you know, I'm out of this thing. I'm bypass. He was one of the first guys that I knew that went and got license plates from, you know, some islands in the Caribbean or whatever, put them on his car and said, yeah, what are you going to do about it? You know, so they stop him and so on. He goes, hey, man, I got, you know, I'm not even in your jurisdiction. Then they're like, okay, I guess you can go. They didn't understand. They didn't know what the heck was going on. So Michael got away with that for a long time. Then there was a time, and the reason I think he went to be, and we'll let him talk about this. He had a gun incident where he just came up against a man and it motivated him to go to law school. And then he came back and he started down that. What we'll go ahead and do is we're going to have a break here in just a few seconds, in about a minute. When we come back, I'll have Michael tell his story of how a gentleman exercising his Second Amendment rights came into the crosshairs of the man, and how that would motivate you to go to another level of activism, maybe doing a different method. I want you to understand, Michael and I have been good friends for a long time. We parallel each other. We go from different directions and do different stuff different ways, but we have great respect for each other and how we are making sure that the truth gets out there. Even though totally different way that we deal with stuff, but we complement each other, we stay out of each other's way, and we perform our duties in this multifaceted quilt of a movement that needs all of us just uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's all you have to do. We're going to give you another perspective of Michael Kilsky when we come back, so you can understand we've been in this a long time. What happens when you live your regular life, but every day you take little baby steps towards advocating for freedom? Where does that put you when you do that for 15, 20 years? Well, we're going to find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Michael Kilsky in just a little bit.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123 today.
My children were very disrespectful. They were defiant. The results from the total transformation were almost immediate. The children stopped arguing.
Is your child disrespectful and defiant with you about everything? Are they arguing with you constantly and having problems in school? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the total transformation.
They have become very task-oriented at school. They complete their assignments in a timely manner without being asked. I firmly believe it is 100% the total transformation. It truly changed our lives.
Backtalk, lying, even problems with ADD and defiant teens. I'll help you transform the worst behavior problems and get peace and sanity in your home. Guaranteed. Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less and my weekly newsletter free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and in studio, Michael Kilsky, my good friend from. Now, the thing is, when we're going into this election cycle in 2010, there are so many things that are going to be, it's going to go national. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, always out of Arizona, and you guys get to know how it happened. I mean, it's not that complicated. If you see it from the beginning, it's just that there is a direct philosophy that is directly influencing national mood, a national awareness, a national. But it's not just from here. I mean, we're just the Phoenix node, but it plugs into so many others doing the same kind of stuff. Now, what's going to happen tomorrow? Catherine Bleich is coming, and they're going to be going and protesting and information about and making sure people know where and what for on the fusion centers. Now, in the mid-90s, we remember in this, they called it multi-jurisdictional task forces was the beginning of this. Sheriff Arpaio, here, man, he's all over that. Oh, yeah, bring him on in. So this is where they consolidate all law enforcement under a federal thing. They'll have some representative or marshal. They do it now. You know, here they got Phoenix police being marshalized so they can go to the Sky Harbor International Airport and have their M16 slung around their shoulder and stand there and be menacing. And I'm going, you know, seriously? So, you know, it's all a psyop. Well, Michael's been in this for a long time, too. Go ahead and tell us, when did you start this and how? Because I remember first coming across your name probably in 94. You know, you were involved a lot. So where did you start from?
Well, I guess I would say it started in the 80s, but it was sometime in early 90s that I re-registered libertarian, and that's when I became more active. In the late 80s and early, 90 or so, I was trying to be active, sort of, in the Republican Party, trying to affect the change, trying to see more freedom, and I got to see the insides, and I got to realize it doesn't matter. It doesn't work that way. If you're not part of the structure, if you're not part of the
corruption,
if you're not part of the good old boys network at the top, it didn't matter. You know, they would the whole structure of it was they would talk the party line, and then their actions would be inconsistent with what they were saying. And after a number of years of just, seeing that repeated over and over again, seeing it at the national level and then seeing it up close at the state and local level, I just said, that's it. There's just no hope for this. And I re-registered libertarian and became more active with the freedom movement there. That's kind of where it started. And again, as Ernie has started to explain, my motivation always is to understand, to try to learn, to try to see where I can make an impact, a difference, and a difference that starts in my life and then by example, perhaps, expands from there. But I want more freedom in my life. So that has motivated a lot of the steps that I've taken.
You know, one of the things that Michael has really been a valuable asset to the movement is that he doesn't have a plan for you. You know, that's very rare that you'll have somebody that becomes a state chair and supported. Now, fortunately, the mindset of the people here in Arizona support his methods, because a lot of people, they come in and say, I got a plan. We're going to spend your money. We're going to crack the whip. We're going to have all these meetings. We're going to. Says, tell people how they're going to whatever. Well, that's not what Michael does. Michael, very smart. Make sure we have ballot status. Make sure we fill in all the blanks. We file all the paperwork with the state to make sure we have this option of running libertarian candidates to go what up with that during an election cycle. That is what he does. And really nothing else. I don't think anybody even wants you to do anything else. Every time the party starts trying to do something else, they get in trouble. So Michael understands this and has been supported from all sides because he doesn't inject any of Michael into anything. He's a servant to the people to be able to make use of the power of ballot status. So this comes from a long time of activism. And there's been other people that tried to, we're going to take this energy that comes out of Arizona, and we're going to bottle it and contain it and put it in through a funnel and make sure we glean whatever out of it as it goes by, kind of thing. Never worked. So Michael has been supported, just because he does very little. Thank you. but where did you come up with that? I mean, how does that enter into having an impact on these elections taking this type of style?
Well, I have to give credit to two other people, including Jason Ovenshine, who was the prior state chair for the Arizona Libertarian Party, who kind of really laid out the model, the idea being that the state party really only has four core functions, and that's what it should focus on. One of them being ballot status, one of them being essentially, there center for people, for outreach, for communicating.
A nexus.
Yeah, a nexus to issue press releases if necessary, to issue position statements on important issues, and to be there to funnel contacts between people that are interested in the libertarian movement and the local parties and the local activists, being there to be able to sue, to be the party that can go have standing to go out there and file lawsuit, maintain lawsuits. And that's pretty much it.
When we come back, we'll talk about that, because there is a Ninth Circuit case that we've been involved in. This has been going on for heck, a decade, decade and a half. And it finally culminated in a position of the government just, dang it, them damn libertarians, they keep mucking up all our crap. You know, so they're, you know, So now we have a case that we won, but we're like, yeah, you know, big deal, you know, as long as everybody knows what we're doing. We'll talk about that and the impact it'll have here and national. You know, it's always something.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In need of printing? Call idcprint.com. From paper printings to signs and banners or decorated apparel, idcprint.com has got you covered. With low prices, excellent customer service, and easy online ordering, idcprint.com will help you convey your message in high-quality color printing. Our printing is eco-friendly, too. When it needs to be printed, call idcprint.com. That's idcprint.com. For all of your insurance and financial services needs, contact the Howard J. Blitz State Farm Insurance Agency, located in Yuma, Arizona, at 1-928-726-8050. Or email Howard at howardblitz.com. With 24-hour Good Neighbor service, you'll be glad you did. Contact the Howard J. Blitz State Farm Insurance Agency now, or visit them on the World Wide Web at howardblitz.com.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293. And be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, Republic Broadcasting. I'm Rob Gray, Executive Director of the American Open Currency Standard. Our team is hard at work here in Texas and across the country assembling the new economy, a system of trade built on honest money and American production. We're proud to report that we now have more than 26,000 merchants trading across the country and more than a dozen private silver currencies like the Lakota Nation and the John Gall. But the most stunning AOCS medallion by far is the new Andrew Jackson Anti-Banker, available right now at RepublicSilver.com. Log on to RepublicSilver.com and get your hands on the investment-grade 999 fine silver Andrew Jackson barter medallions and stretch your purchasing power in our extensive trade network. And be sure to stop by the AG Trading Post in Dallas, the only store that refuses FRNs, where you can trade your Jacksons for top-quality goods. Be a part of it today at RepublicSilver.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle again here in Declare Your Independence, Mayor. Ernest Hancock, and another independence declaring kind of guy, Michael Kiske, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of freedomsphoenix.com. Yeah, can you talk that fast, Michael? But so what we wanted to do is this. I want to tell you something else about Michael. Michael, being computer whiz bang uber geek, you know, he now runs the back end, he and his wife, betterthanyours.com. As I remember, we used to have radio ads with your little girl when she was real small, and it went, betterthanyours.com. You know, it was funny as heck. So we had these commercials, and they've been running the radio show archives that we did originally, starting in February 2003, back when MP3, what's MP3? And then these libertarians are way ahead of the game. What we did, we archived, because we knew it was going to be important for us from our perspective to archive every word that came out of a libertarian talk show host on a morning show in a major media market, the only place in the freaking country. So we like, okay, all right, here we go. Guys, man, we were telling it like it was. Well, we knew then, you know, just having it on, even though it was a morning show in a major media market, 2 hours every morning, Monday through Friday. You know, we had, you know, news and traffic and all this kind of, we knew that's cool. You know, that's cool. But that was not what our main goal and objective was. We understood the future of the internet. We knew archiving of these arguments. We knew that when we saved these shows at the bottom of the hour, we would have, I think it was at that network, it was CNN, and it's been others and so on. But anyway, we had the morning news, the bullet points, the feeding into the matrix about all the fear and terror and Osama bin forgotten kind of stuff. What we did is we would include that in the archives. So you'd hear the show, first half hour, boom, and you have the news that was going on at that time, and then what we were doing, talking about it and other things. So as you listen to our old shows, you kind of get the atmosphere of what was going on, all the propaganda that was being done in the Bush administration. Well, you know, same thing's going on now, but you know, we should do that. We should include the news in a lot of this stuff, because dang, man, these guys are amazing. It regurgitates to might as well been 1930s Germany, man. It's the same old stuff. So Michael was instrumental in creating the archive and a lot of the sites and stuff that we do. Now, ErnestHancock.com/archive, you can go to that and search it and everything, but that's being incorporated into Freedom's Phoenix. It hadn't been updated. We're just, you know, because we're busy. Now, we put all our focus on Freedom's Phoenix instead of Ernie's site. You know, who cares about that? So what we do is have this technology, but all of a sudden, there was a time when Michael decides, you know, having an Uber computer science degree and having a business that's successful, running off doing that, and all of a sudden he wants to go be an attorney. What up with that?
Well, as I said earlier, one of the things that that motivates me is when I fail to understand something that I thought I understood. You know, I try to figure out what it is. Well, where was my mistake? What was I doing wrong? In the middle 90s, I was involved, as you mentioned, in a incident involving my defensive display of a firearm, and I got involved in the legal system, and I was quite surprised to find that the laws and statutes, as I understood them, as I'd read them and studied them, didn't seem to do what it is that they said.
Well, explain
they did.
What happened. This is an interesting story. You got some little hoodlums going to a parking lot, you know, with sharp edge weapons, kind of going, "Hey, you're mine," and you go, "No."
Well, you know, the background is a dark parking lot, Friday night, close to midnight, and I'm approached by three people. Turn out to be three young people. Couldn't tell because it's dark. One of them, what I could tell though, is one of them was carrying a large knife. Turned out to be a large, you know, kitchen knife, the, you know, with about a 8-inch blade, 12-inch or so overall length. And you know, they're coming at me, so I tell them to stop, and the police are called. And next,
well,
day,
you drew your firearm.
Oh yeah.
He's
yeah.
Like, oh, just like a dumb kid to bring a knife to a gunfight.
So. Well, yeah. So the long and short of it is all of a sudden they're the victims and I'm the accused. So as I said, that.
What were you accused of?
Oh, I the original charges amounted to kidnapping and I think kidnapping and aggravated assault. They were pretty serious felony charges. Which,
because you drew saying, all right, now, and then you called police right away on your cell phone or something, right?
Well, I had it was in the darkened parking lot, but I called out for somebody to call 911. And as the police came, like I said, all of a sudden the roles got reversed.
Because, and I tell you, Maricopa County Attorney's Office here, they, and there is, for some reason, there has been this adamant prosecute anybody that would protect themselves with a firearm, they come after. I mean, just because they can. What has happened, the blowback from that has been enormous activism in our state legislature. Every year, they're taking back more and more and more. Now they have what they call a castle doctrine. And yes, you can display. And yes, I mean, we got to be very specific about every instances exactly like this to where the law is specific. Well, it was pretty specific then. It didn't make any difference, you know. So they keep emphasizing
that. That's what I learned. And that's what surprised me. The law was pretty clear that you did have, you know, justification, but it didn't matter. It mattered this far. It mattered that in that case, the county attorney's office declined to prosecute because the charges were just way over the top. But then the city attorney did continue to prosecute on misdemeanor charges. And again, because of the whole way the system worked out, there was no jury. There's no right to a jury. There was no jury trial. The whole thing was essentially just it appeared like a big railroad job. There were a whole bunch of other issues that came up, complex legal issues. As I said, the bottom line is I learned that I did not understand nearly enough about the legal system, nothing close to what I had imagined it was.
Did law school help with that?
Yes, it did.
Really?
It did, absolutely.
What did you, pray tell?
Well, I was under the mistaken impression that justice was the value that our legal system pursued. And while justice is a value that is pursued in the legal system, that is not the primary value. The number one value, the number one goal that our justice system serves is finality, conclusion. It strives very hard to come to an answer that maybe is close to justice, but that just gives a conclusive answer no matter what. And that's the number one.
No, you got to define that, man. What are you talking about? You
know, well,
justice is, you know, justice is not a conclusion. I mean, or, you know.
Well, again, if you understand, and this is one of the things, one of the real eye-opening things that I learned going through the law school process is that a lot of us out here, you know, that are idealists, that are, you know, talking about, you know, freedom and justice and all these kinds of issues. What we don't understand is that the system that we've put in place, while it takes the concept of justice, in other words, doing, you know, coming to the right answer, while it takes that seriously, that is not the number one value that it pursues. The number one value that it pursues is it tries to get to a conclusion, to an answer that gets close to justice if possible, but an answer nonetheless. And that's why all the rules, all the everything else that's in place really is kind of channels the decision to an answer, a conclusion, so that for lack of, you know, a better way of explaining it, just so that people have an answer and they can potentially move on. And in some ways, it really does make sense because human beings are finite. We don't have an infinite amount of time, and justice does get complex and does take time, and it's not always possible to achieve perfect justice. So I sort of get it, why it does that. But like I said, that was a big eye-opening thing to me. Before I understood that, I really always thought that
I'm know, still justice... not understanding it. You got to help me here.
Okay.
So you have a situation to where you're charged by somebody, you know, the county says we don't want to play. Then the city says, all right, we're going to do it because we want a finality. You know, there has to be an answer somewhere. So they go through this process. Is it just once you get a piece of paperwork in the government system, everybody's got to look at it and check it off or something? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's, you know, what I tell people now in my practice as an attorney is I explain to them, you know, once you're caught up in the wheels of justice, it's really tough to get yourself out. no matter what, it's complicated. It's expensive. It's time consuming. And, you know, sometimes all you can do is just try to get yourself out with the minimum amount of damage. You're going to take damage. You're going to take serious damage. It's going to hurt your pocketbook. It's potentially going to affect your future in terms of your potential to earn a living.
What's the real purpose, though? I mean, you know, there's so many times that we've had things. We have a lot of activists and people that you and I both deal with come through here. There are a lot of reasons why they're here being active. Activists, because this kind of stuff happened. The reason you went to law school is because this kind of stuff happens. And, you know, the reason you're a lawyer for freedom and advocating for and pro bono and this and discount for us going kicking butt is because they screwed with you. Okay,
that's right.
So I'm like, thank you. So anyway, yeah, our biggest recruiter of activists is the government. They have no idea. So what happens is they're going through this process and they create a piece of paper that has to everybody's got to, you know, sign off on it. You know, I've gone through, I got a boat ticket, you know, and I had to go to the county attorney's office for them to offer me the deal because I wouldn't play and it's not, I'm going to trial. We're going to make a big kind of fun out of this. Well, we got, you know, senior approval for you to be able, it's $25 to take this class. I'm like, you know, seriously, do we have to go through all, I mean, you're, oh, just, but. It, you know, it's explained by what you're saying is that they have to come to a conclusion and they set up mechanisms by which to do this. And justice isn't the primary goal. It is the shuffling of paperwork. And that's I'm right. Wondering, was that a make work program for government to bog the system down? I mean, couldn't you? I've had situations in the 90s to where there was a I had a suspended license because of two judges that were arguing with each other over two different jurisdictions of a speeding ticket I had. Now, you know, it was the stupidest thing ever. And it finally got down to the point that there was a bunch of these like this. They brought in 36 people into a courtroom. The judge gets up and he says, okay, for all of you, boom, this is what it is, all dismissed. Yeah, Jeff, done reading. We're just so done with this because it was some little glitch or whatever. Does that even happen anymore? Or does it happen all the time? You know, they just want to, you know, we got somebody finally with a robe that just says, you know, we're just throwing all these out. We're doing, but no, we're going to go through all the processes and somebody's going to do something. Where's the justice in the system? Because if there isn't, and it becomes obvious, there's blowback. And there's going to be activities. There's going to be somebody doing something in opposition to this injustice. So what trend are we going? Are we getting away from let's just do justice, or we got to fill out the boxes on the paperwork?
Well, the bottom line is it's a mixed bag. It's one of the reasons that I'm really getting involved in this whole photo radar thing is because that is the latest example of what I like to call assembly line justice, where justice is in quotes, because it isn't. It doesn't even come close to justice because you can't. The process, the bottom line is, again, it's one of those things where you caught up in that. Once you're caught up in that system, you're not going to get out without damage. And my experience has been that which was their point. It's another backdoor tax. In one of the newspaper articles on one of my clients, the spokesman for DPS so much as said, this is our taxpayer money. You know, talking about the fact that my client didn't want to step up and pay all these photo radar tickets.
And, DPS, Department of Public Safety, is like our highway patrol or
right,
state police.
Right, the highway patrol. I mean, you know, the fact that they have the arrogance to claim that this uncollected traffic ticket fine is, quote-unquote, our taxpayer money just shows you what the whole system is about. It's not about
the king's men,
yeah, it's,
the highwaymen.
It's not about correcting people's behavior. It's not about assessing them a fine or anything like that in order so that they shouldn't do this thing. It's another way for the government to raise money. It's a backdoor tax, and that's the bottom line.
You know, this is, it's not like a big secret, but they try and conceal that. We had Carol Springer was a state senator at one time, and then in the late 90s, early 2000, I think it was 2000, she won as state treasurer. And at the time, I had my second lawsuit in Arizona Supreme Court challenging the debt that they had then, which was, you know, a fraction of what it is now. It was like $1.4 billion, and it's going to be more. This is so bad. When she was state treasurer, it was brought up when they did this debt before, and we were right before the real estate boom really started giving them a lot of revenue. And we had her on the air. It was 2003, I remember, in early 2003. And we were talking about, you know, the what they call it, the CAFA, secret books on the state. I can't remember what they call it. But CAFRA or something like that. And what we did is we're talking about this, and I'm going, look at this debt they got. She goes, well, they'll just start writing more tickets. I go, what? She goes, yeah, that's a revenue stream for them. They know. You know, and all else fails, we need more money. Hire patrol DPS out there, photo raid darn down how much we can glean off the taxpayers in the form of fines for them driving too fast. Because, dang it, we just set that dial down to 8 miles an hour over or something. We can make some cash. And they did this to my daughter day after Christmas. They go, you know how fast you were going? You're going 80 miles. No, I wasn't. Yeah, you were. No, I wasn't. I set my cruise control to 54 to keep it under use. You know, what's the speed limit? 45. Ah, see? 9 miles an hour over. So I'm going, oh, man, these guys kill me. So this is what's going on. So now you have a situation where they're admitting to this. Michael has a lot of these cases coming to him, and you've worked out a deal. You're giving them a special discount of we're going to go challenge the man and get all these arguments in. Tell us about the deal you're offering everybody for. I mean, you're not making any money on this.
Oh, no, no. In Maricopa County, what happens is that people get these photo radar tickets in the mail, and basically there are no other. All they have to do is pay $181.50, and that settles the ticket. But what I'm doing is I'm offering people for $95, they can come hire me. I'll go fight it in court. We lose most of the time, but it's worth the fight.
Yeah, and you bring up some issues, and you get the discovery, and you ask for different stuff, and you cost them money. And you highlight the problem, which is what?
Oh, assembly line justice.
Yeah, assembly line justice. Yeah, is it justice? Well, you know, we're going to get some one way or another. We'll be right back.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
This is an important message from hempusa.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified Knight Financial Counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialists at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
To the man here from Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Michael Kilski in studio whooping it up. Now, you know, the one thing I'm sure a lot of the listeners are interested in is, you know, what are some of the arguments that you're making against this photo, video surveillance radar archived forever? Now, they don't tell you that. This is video, man.
Well,
with a flash.
Yeah, the arguments range from, you know, some of the constitutional arguments that we have. We've got an equal protection argument basically that says if you're, pulled over and given a ticket, the fine and the sanction is different than this photo radar thing. So there's, you know, two different people doing exactly the same thing, just depending on how they're pulled over, so to speak, or how they're issued a ticket. They have different sanctions. That's one argument. There's a due process argument that has to do with if you are pulled over, you have the ability to recollect the events, to remember the events, to maybe even go get witnesses. If you get this photo radar ticket in the mail 2 weeks after the incident, it's too late. You might not even remember what happened. You might not have any memory of the time, place, and you certainly have no opportunity to go out and get any witnesses that might testify on your behalf.
They know what happened. They got a photo. Damn it.
Yeah, well, again, then we have other arguments that have to do with the way they even issue those photo radar tickets. That's a subject matter jurisdiction argument. The idea that in Arizona, the law specifically states that the ticket has to be certified. Well, all these things are issued through a computer, and the process is supposed to be that somebody actually looks at the video or the photo and determines that based on the evidence that they see there, plus some additional information they get from driving license information, that the person that they're going to issue the ticket to is the person who committed the violation. Again, I have grave suspicions that in many cases, those tickets are just sent out automatically without anybody reviewing anything. So,
no, they can't. There was, we had an instance, just a month ago, Thomas Costanzo here, Morpheus, he went out to Maricopa County supervisors, had a meeting to where they're going, look, man, we're on the back end after these are collected and so on, we're getting some money for the administrative cost of us, you know, kind of shuffling the paperwork. And they promised us, oh, yeah. It's just like, you know, you take a big bin of these forms, you just kind of, you know, wheel them over here, you know, and that'd be it. They're going, we got 600,000 of these. You know, we cannot possibly even process these without enormous amount of money and human resources for us to do this. Well, you get paid, yeah, but 6 months later or never or something, not all these get paid and so on. We need the money up front. We need a surcharge up front. We need to have. So then the argument was, well, why don't you just keep $20 of whatever it is that they, you know, before you send it on? Oh, you can't do that. That's illegal, blah, blah, blah. Thomas gets up and he says, $20? Why don't you just raise it to 500, 1,000? You know, what's the difference? Well, everybody know what you're doing. You're just bank robbers, man. You know, you're just being thieves. I don't know what is this, $20? Why $20? Aren't you supposed to be raising money? Well, heck, you can make it a billion, right? I mean, whatever, make it 500. Let's go. So that hit the news cycle, man. That was all over talk radio and television, newspaper, print, as Morpheus going, you know, we just need to be clear about what you're doing. Make it 500. $20? Wimps. So that was a really good argument.
Well, and again, you know, what ends up happening in practice, and I've seen this many times when I've gone to court, is when we do challenge it and when people do go to court, a lot of times they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to argue it. But the thing that gets you is this. They will schedule 4 hearings for every 15-minute period. That amounts to less than 4 minutes per individual to be able to argue their case, again, why they should not be found responsible for these tickets. That is, again, another example of assembly line justice. When I do these hearings, It takes me 45 minutes to an hour, and I make sure that we get our arguments in there, all these arguments I've mentioned in war.
Motivated to be an activist? Wish you had an outlet? Wish you had some way to communicate your outrage to the man? And do it with a smile? That's what we're for.
With recent internet...